edition of the Powering Tomorrow podcast. It's our first podcast since the pandemic was declared. And not surprisingly, on this podcast, we're going to be looking at the impacts of COVID-19 on the electricity sector across Ontario. We're going to be joined by a number of participants, Jim Hogan from Integrys, Mike Crawley from Northland Power, and Mark Chambry from Loblaws. And we're going to talk a bit about how they're dealing with COVID-19 and some of the impacts. It's, as you know, many of us are now working from home as a result of the pandemic, and I'm no different. I am joining you as the host of the program. My name is Terry Young, and I'm joining you from my home in Etobicoke. We're going to start the podcast, though, with an interview with Chuck Farmer. Chuck is our Senior Director of Power System Planning, and Chuck joins us in the from his home as well, and we're getting a chance to understand how the IESO is dealing with COVID-19. Most of us are working from home. We have a small shift who are going to our facility in Clarkson and doing what we need to do in to maintain reliability across the province. But clearly what we're seeing today as a result of COVID-19 is much different than what we saw before March 13th. So Chuck, what are we seeing with respect to electricity demand? How has that changed since the pandemic was declared?
So when the pandemic was declared and everybody moved to this new work from home posture, we saw the closure of the non-essential businesses. Quite predictably, we saw demand in the province start to fall and fall quite quickly. So it dropped in about the range of 8 to 10%, and that started to really cause us to have to adjust our posture. It was a very quick change, so the company had to adapt to that. We do a lot of forecasting to support the dispatch of all of the generation, and so our forecasting models were very quickly in an area that we weren't very familiar with. So we did a lot of work on the fly to try and get those up to date. When you started to look at the details of how demand was changing very quickly, we actually saw that residential demand was starting to increase. We're used to people going to offices and places of work, industry, et cetera, and the loads in their homes being much lower. But now people are working from home. They're home much more. Kids are not in school. So we've seen residential demand increase about 4% on average. But we saw quite significant decreases in the commercial and industrial market. So the commercial sector, the small commercial sector, has dropped by about 17%, very much representing the closure of non-essential businesses, the change in the way our restaurants function, our retail stores were closed, our distribution connected industrial customers, so our mid-sized customers and our office buildings, also off in about the 17% range. Again, the office buildings are not haven't got all of the workers in them as we would expect. And industry had to adjust very quickly to this new way of working. And our very large industrial customers as well were affected as global conditions started to impact. So particularly in the auto and the steel sectors, but overall those have also dropped in the range of about 16%. Now, as we see the economy starting to reopen a little bit, we're starting to see a little bit of an upward pressure on demand. So it's starting to rise again as things reopen. And we're still assessing sort of how quickly that will happen and how much.
And so with regards to how quickly that'll happen, what's your sense right now as we look at, as we're approaching the summer typically we see higher demand anyways in the summer. Are we looking at what the last few summers were or how much, what difference are you preparing for right now, if you will?
So we have forecast that through the summer, because we believe we'll be in some form of sort of work from home stature through the entire summer. So it'll be a gradual return to the office buildings. Industry is adapting to working under this sort of new environment of social distancing. Restaurants have not reopened. Schools are not back in. So we're projecting that demand will be about 6% lower, and by that I mean our peak demand. But yes, in the summer we are driven largely in the province by air conditioning loads, and so there is some concern that with everybody being at home, working from home, that maybe we'll see a much greater increase in the residential sector. So we're preparing actually for anything from a reduction of 6% to no change to previous years, just to be sure that we're ready for this summer.
Earlier this year, before we got into all of this, in late January, the ISO published the annual planning outlook, a 20-year look at what we expect demand to be, how we're meeting that demand, what some of the supply resources are that are available, supply and other resources available. This is clearly a game changer. This is looked at all of your forecasts, the outlooks that you had done, and how do you start again? How do you go back and remodel, if you will, and when can we expect something from the ISO?
So, yes, I think you described it well. We put out an outlook, a 20-year outlook to guide sort of the thinking around the sector when the major investment decisions would be required. And yes, very quickly, normally I feel pretty good about the first 5 years of an outlook, but after about 2 to 3 months, things started to change very quickly. And we've moved into an extremely uncertain environment when we look forward. So what we're working on now is we're trying to do some shorter term updates. So we have started to look at 5 to 6 year outlooks just to see how the next period will unfold. We know that we have some significant in our planning outlook. We had some significant investment decisions to make around the 2023 to 2025 timeframe as we get heavily into the nuclear refurbishment program and as we start to see the preparation for the retirement of the Pickering generating station. And so we wanted to make sure that we had an updated view of those. Given that we're in a very difficult forecasting time, we're approaching that by taking a scenario approach to it. We've looked at the possibility that things will return to what we think of as normal quite quickly. Social distancing works, we start to open the economy, and we start to see a return of demand by the end of about 2021, and we're back to the levels we would have expected in the past. And that is one scenario we're assessing. And then the other scenario would be something a little more significant, as in maybe we have a second wave of infections that leads to more shutdowns. And in particular, the sort of impact of perhaps a major recession, given that there's very high levels of unemployment right now. We're potentially going to see some liquidity issues in the market and bankruptcies. And our manufacturing sector will be reacting to what could be a global recession, where demand will change and they'll have to rethink. So we're looking at sort of two ends of a spectrum and trying to look at the decisions that we face within those. And then for the longer term, as we move through the year, things will start to become more clear. We'll get a picture of what's going on and be able to reframe our APO for a release in the end of the year in Q4.
So you talk about the APO release at the end of the year. What other ways can stakeholders, are they able to keep abreast of what you're seeing?
So we have a number of ways for stakeholders. So one thing that I think has worked really well has been the monthly stakeholder engagement updates, where we take 90 minutes to 2 hours, and we talk a lot about what's happening in terms of operations, but also what we're seeing for demand and generation on the system. And the next one of those is towards the end of June, at which time we'll put out our demand forecast scenarios for the two scenarios, and have a discussion with stakeholders about their views on those. And then in July, we'll do our what we call our energy adequacy assessment to see how well we can meet those needs. So over the next 6 weeks, a lot of information will be forthcoming. And then our reliability outlook, which is an 18-month view of the operating conditions, will be released at the end of June as well.
Chuck, thanks for joining us. Stay well.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As we enter our fourth month of our new normal, we wanted to share some perspectives from three senior leaders whose organizations are on the front line during this pandemic. Joining us on the show to share with us and help us all better understand the challenges that the electricity sector is facing, and in particular, their organizations are facing, I'm joined here by Mike Crawley, and Mike is the president and CEO of Northland Power. Jim Hogan, who's the president and CEO of Integris, a local distribution company in southwestern Ontario. And Mark Schomburg, who's also with us, is a vice president with Loblaws Properties. Welcome. I hope you're all staying well, and I want to thank you for joining the ISO's Powering Tomorrow podcast. So, Mike, let me start with you. So, as a generator and other businesses that you have, that Northline has, how is the pandemic affecting your organization?
Well, like everybody, our first priority was the health and safety of our workers. So those that could work from home, we immediately sent them home. So any of people in any of our various offices around the world went home. But the facility staff, those who worked in the plants, they still had to work. I mean, our plants are deemed to be essential infrastructure. And even our European plants, if you look at them, they're about a gigawatt in aggregate. And so we had to make sure that those could continue operating. And that meant looking at crew separations, both in Europe with our offshore wind farms, and we added an extra crew transfer vessel so people could space out more. In Canada with our thermal facilities, again, you've got people in a tight, constrained environment. We had to separate crews, do rigorous sanitation in between crew shifts, temperature checks, all of that. So it really did change how we went about running our facilities. And I'm pleased to say that all the credit goes towards our plant staff, that we're able to maintain the same level of availability at our facilities as we did before the pandemic.
Jim, from a local distribution company perspective, how has your world changed because of COVID-19?
Well, we're obviously continuing to deliver the essential service with our customers. But the customers are using the electricity differently. Residential customers, they're home more, so they're using a little more electricity. Our commercial and industrial customers, they're very different. Some there's no impact, some less, and some they're closed. So we're working with each individual customer group and each individual customer differently, communicating with them significantly. And as part of delivering that service, much like Mike's team is. The separation. So our outside crews, we have them on two shifts, starting at 7:30 and 8:30. That way we can, protect them as much as possible. And really every employee that we have that traditionally works inside the office, whether it's engineering, accounting, customer service, they're all working from home. And we did that we had a vision that that's what we would get to someday. Well, we unfortunately did that in a week or two, and it's worked out very successfully. So that's working out good. And in a way, because the community is slower and contractors and customers are using less, our outside crews have really been able to be busy and clean up a lot of things that we've been saying we'll get to. So it's been an opportunity for us to really take care of some things that we've been wanting to do for a while.
Let's switch to the customer for a minute. And Mark, maybe you could talk a bit about how what ways Loblaws has had to adapt and what's been your challenge going forward in terms of store operations?
Our food and drug business was deemed essential. And like the other participants, the first thing we had to do was focus on the health and safety of our employees and our customers. We installed plexiglass screens on all of our checkouts to provide separation between the cashiers and the customers. We initially reduced hours and we've subsequently gone back to regular hours. We cut back on service offering. The essential activities were getting our customers, giving them the ability to check out. We implemented physical distancing and reduced our customer counts. Our grocery pickup model, PC Express, saw significant volume increases. We've expanded our storage capacity to support that model. We've hired more staff. We've launched a mechanized fulfillment center and a micro fulfillment center to deal with this increased volume. And we're up to date currently. So it's been an enormous amount of work. From an electricity standpoint, our store consumption has probably gone up marginally as a result of the increased volume. We just continue to focus on operations. We manage the store's energy management systems and aspects. So we really focus on just letting the stores operate and make sure they can do their job.
It's good to hear that health and safety of the employees is obviously the number one priority for all of you. Maybe switch a bit and continue with the conversation around customers. And Jim, as a distributor, what are you seeing in terms of the biggest challenge? Is it trying to manage the customers' concerns during this time?
Definitely. You know, their concerns are, for the residential customer, previously we've had the time of use rates and, hey, I'm home a lot more. I'm going to use a lot more. My bills are going to go up higher. So the government's really helped us out with that and helped out the customers. So that, has relieved one stress for the customers, but they still have, when are they going to be able to pay their bills? For the commercial industrial customers, it's very similar, because many of them are, not operating. So a lot more, especially with the commercial industrial customers, a lot more one-on-one conversations, a lot more phone calls, a lot more communication. For the residential customers, we've done a lot more with technology, sending emails, having many tools for them to communicate with us. So we've been working on that for a few years, and obviously in the past quarter, we've had to ramp that up and giving them an opportunity to communicate with us any time of the day and in many different ways.
Mike, when you look back at the first 3 months of the pandemic, what's been your biggest challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge for us, I think, would have been on a construction project where we, outside of Canada, but where we had an infection come in and it was really drove home how quickly an infection can spread. We managed to shut down the facility, the construction site, and contain it very quickly. But if we hadn't acted quickly, you could see how it could have spread much, much quicker. And it was almost all of the cases were asymptomatic, which is a good reminder for all of us of just how invisible this is and how quickly it can spread if you don't get on top of it quickly. So that was probably the most challenging thing. And that was the biggest thing.
As we turn the corner, or hopefully turn the corner on this, let's spend a few minutes talking about the future, and maybe starting with you, Mark. What do you think stores are going to do differently? In what ways are they going to have to operate differently as we come out of the pandemic?
Prior to COVID, we were focusing on the customer pickup model. We have seen significant increases in that. We think many customers are going to continue to leverage this platform. So as a business, we're going to continue to focus on efficiencies in the click and collect or PC Express model. And we think customers picking up groceries is going to be a much bigger part of our business in moving forward. We were forecasting growth in this area, but not like obviously we've recognized over the last 3 or 4 months.
So Jim and Mike, I'd ask you a similar question. As you look at your crystal balls, what's the new normal going to look like for you and your organizations? What are you going to do differently, or what do you think, what are some of the challenges going forward going to be for you?
Yeah, this pandemic's really given us an opportunity to review our operations and see what we can do differently. And there's two things that I believe we're going to focus on. One is technology out in the distribution system. We have been putting more technology out there in monitoring and self-healing tools. We're going to step that up. If we were just relying on our line crews and half of them were sick, well, we wouldn't be able to respond to our customers. So we're going to focus on technology as well as continue with our very talented team and therefore deliver the best service we can. And then probably the next thing we'll be looking at is with our employees and engagement of employees and the future employees is a more permanent long-term work from home policy. Is that how we can be delivering the services and how our employees can work on a permanent basis and a longer term basis? And that may be the future of the new employees, the younger generation, they with technology, they may want to work from home. So we're going to be exploring more of how we can engage our employees and empower them and have them work at home or different ways of working.
And as you talk to your employees now, are you getting support for that as you look at this?
Absolutely. The majority of them are really enjoying working from home. We are getting the results. There are people that are just, because of the environment today, we're all a little bit anxious, but many of them are asking, okay, how can we do this in a longer term?
Well, certainly at 30 degrees right now, what it is, there's a benefit to wearing shorts at home and not having to get dressed up for the office. Mike, how about you? What's the future look like for you? If you, again, look in your crystal ball, what are you seeing?
Well, we always had a crisis management plan that was implemented, obviously, in this as a pandemic spread. I would say we, by and large, it was implemented well, and we managed well through the worst of the crisis so far. But I think there were a couple of things. Like, one was to make sure we properly understand our supply chain for parts, because there were a few kind of nervous moments, particularly in Europe, on some of our facilities there when borders started closing up, and we started thinking, well, what if we do have a major failure? Will we be able to get the necessary part delivered on time? And also looking at redundancy and how we can manage our plants if a significant number of people got sick or were not able to report for work. And thirdly, just in terms of how we function corporately, looking at whether or not we can actually delegate down some more authority with proper checks and balances in place regionally and be able to operate more in that fashion going forward, since we've kind of realized that we don't necessarily have to have people flying around and driving around all the time to continue to do business.
So I'm going to ask one final question, and it's a similar question to all three of you. We'll start maybe with the customer perspective and then the perspective of the two who are actually in the sector, in the industry. And so, Mark, starting with you, how do you think the electricity sector in general has responded during this time to ensure that your needs are being met?
We're in the business of storing and selling perishable products, and as a result of that, we are incredibly dependent on the electricity sector. And we're very grateful and would like to recognize the LDCs, the generators, the ISO for keeping the power going. And we're very appreciative of the fact that it was not something that we had to worry about, and we could focus on getting groceries into our customers' hands.
So I'll ask the similar question, starting with you, Mike, but maybe even if you had to do this all over again, which hopefully we never will have to do this, is there something different you might have done?
Well, I think we certainly would have knew we would have curtailed travel even earlier than we did had we known kind of what the impact of this would have been internationally. But that didn't really have any impact. I think the one thing when we look at what's gone on is the value of our relationship with our off-takers, our partners, the ISO, SAS Power, and you look across around at all our different facilities in terms of just managing a dialogue. So you get into this interesting situation where our plants are essential, but at certain times, perhaps the system doesn't need those facilities as much as they did otherwise, and really being able to have an open, honest dialogue and saying, listen, we're partners in this, let's see what can work, and coming up with creative solutions.
Final word to you, Jim.
I think for us as we go forward, it's probably the benefit has been the collaboration with utilities. We've all worked together to share ideas, to do the best we can for our customers. We've done a lot of really good outreach with the various associations. The OEB stepped up, the ISO, and we've had meetings with yourself, Terry, and colleagues. So we've all joined together and worked hard to put aside whatever differences and to collaboratively work together to meet the needs of our customers and meet the needs of the province. And that's been really rewarding, I think.
And you're ready for a few more months of this?
I guess. I mean, we'll do what we need to do. The team is looking at the return to office. We just want to get the plan together. We're not going to implement anything yet, but we're getting by, and we'll make the best of it.
Well, and thank you all for joining me today. I know you have the your minds and hearts are in the right place as you speak about health and safety and your operations. And I appreciate you taking the time to, I know what are busy days for all of you, to join us and share your perspectives. So thanks again and stay well.
Good chat. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Same to you. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. To stay up to date on the latest initiatives taking place across Ontario's electricity industry, we invite you to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, or by visiting us at www.ieso.ca. Thanks for listening.